Okay, let's begin our study. We are going to begin tonight, this New Year's Eve, the study of why Christians suffer stress, anxiety, and depression. And so the first thing we want to do is begin with a few moments in prayer, orienting ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what He would have us to see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to live the time in which we do. Not just in the history of this nation, but in the history of man. To be a part of where we are in this history. To see the things that are going on in the Middle East and in Europe. To be a part, Heavenly Father, of your reflected glory. What happens along the way, Heavenly Father, is that stress and depression becomes a great enemy. And so, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes, that we might see the things that you would have us to see tonight, understand these things, Father, and make them a reality in our lives. We pray, Father, that your Spirit will protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude and feed our seeing, that we might see and understand these things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to study stress, anxiety, depression in a multitude of ways and verses. A multitude of Christians in America suffer from stress and depression. A lot of them take drugs and seek other solutions, unauthorized drugs, to try to handle all of this. But it isn't just today. This has been going on all through Scripture. Along the way, we will turn to the first book written in the Bible, the book of Job, written around just circa 2000 B.C. And we will see a man who is under a great deal of stress and depression to the point that he wished he were dead. And his soul is going to be crushed within him, and it will be crushed by believers. So therefore, the question arises, is it possible to live your life free of stress and free of anxiety and free of depression? And while many of you will find this hard to believe, it is possible. It is possible to live your life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. In fact, the year 2002 can be your year of being free of stress, anxiety, and depression, and or at least the beginning of your journey in being free of these things. And we're going to spend some time in studying a multitude of passages. It can be done, but it's a difficult concept. Life without stress and anxiety and depression, is it possible? We like to think in terms of America. We like to think in terms of the fast pace in which we live. But people, I'm going to show it to you in Job, 2,000 years ago, before he ever had a computer, before he ever had deadlines, King David, all the way through Scripture, Peter, and in the New Testament. So it is possible to have a life free of these things without using drugs, without alcohol, and I might add, without having to have everything go your way, according to your plan, the way you would like it to be, without everyone doing what you want. So that's one way to relieve stress, is just control everybody in your peripheria, and then you're free of stress if everybody's in line with what you want. So we're going to see that it is possible to be free of stress, anxiety, and depression without being in control. And we're going to study why. And I want to start off by saying this. It does not have to be complicated. It does not have to be complicated. And as a matter of fact, it is not complicated. Now, right here, just with that little statement is why a lot of people are going to cut this off and continue with their stress and their anxiety and their depression. It's the same reason that a lot of people refuse to simply believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. It cannot be that simple. That all you have to do is just believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved forever. Never lose your salvation. It cannot be that simple. The Spirit-filled life by faith is rejected by a multitude of Christians. Why? It can't be that simple. It's got to be more complicated. It's got to involve some list, some do and do, some ritual, some works, some performance. It cannot be simple. Now, why is that true? I'll tell you why that's true. My problems at work, my problems at home, in my marriage, are unique and complicated. And therefore, since my problems are unique and complicated, it's going to take something complicated to work me out of this. Because mine are unique. Now, that guy's problems, they're simple and can be handled simply. But not mine. The source of my stress, anxiety, depression, fear, worry, a lot of things we're going to study, are complicated. So don't give me this, it's simple stuff. I don't want to go. I do not want to go to a doctor who makes it very simple what my problem is. You don't understand. Mine's really complicated. I want a psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, doctor, preacher, who's going to make it very complicated. Big words. Lots of stuff. Because that's my problem. It's going to take a lot to handle my problem. They like complicated solutions. It makes them feel good. People, I'm sorry, it's just pure vanity. It's pure arrogance. Mine really takes some complicated solutions, some complicated terms. I don't want a doctor just telling me I got a headache. I want him to use some word about 24 letters, 8 syllables, that nobody else can pronounce but me because it's my problem. It's really good when I have one of these really long problem things and boy, it's really going to take some unique things for my problem. And that's the way people are spiritually. But I'm here to tell you people, just as your eternal salvation from your aspect was very simple. Not easy, but very simple. And just as walking in the Spirit is very simple, not easy, but very simple, so is a life without stress and depression. It's not complicated, and I'm going to show you that. There is a simple, direct way of having a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. There is a very simple, direct way. And we're going to walk through all of this. Now, if you're taking notes, 3 points, 3 things. One, patience. Well, I just lost half of you right there. Patience. You're not going to have this life in the next 24 hours and never have stress again. You're not going to have that. You're going to have and develop along the way here, and we'll talk about all of this, patience on developing a life and arriving at a life free of these things. Secondly, and this is where we'll spend a lot of our time, must have a realistic, and by realistic I mean as toward what is reality, a realistic understanding. A realistic understanding of the dynamics of changing your whole life to a life that will be free of those things. And that's where we're going to spend our time and take a look at a realistic understanding of this change and how we're going to come at this life without stress, anxiety, and depression. And the third is the development of the habit. I'm going to show you that stress, anxiety, and depression is a choice. It's not out of your control. And a lot of you are going to have trouble, I assume, because I've already run into it, that it is in your control. It is not something you cannot fight. Well, I just have stress and depression, and it's from outside. It's not me. It's beyond my control. No, it isn't, people. I'll just start off with a statement. We choose to be under stress. We choose to experience anxiety. We choose to be depressed. And we're going to see that. This whole thing of look what you are doing to your mother. She's in there falling apart. What a thing to put on a teenager. And it's all your fault. It's all your fault that your mother is in there falling apart. That is not true. I'm sorry. And I'll show you that for your doubters. We choose to fall apart. We choose to be depressed. And I'll show you how that, the reason we do that is to get back into control. And control has a great deal to do with a lot of our problems. Now, the way this is going to happen, this whole beginning of the dynamics of this change, and we're going to change our whole life to a life without stress. And the dynamics of this is going to begin with an understanding of becoming who you are in Jesus Christ. Who and what you really are already. Now, this is New Year's Eve, and this is an introduction to our study. This is not the way I probably would have started this. This would not be class one if we were doing this in March or April or some other time. But I do want to begin tonight, and at the same time, I want to lay down some encouragement. So we're going to develop here, very many of the concepts. We'll have to mention them, but that's what we're going to be doing over the next few months in this study. But to live your life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, let me tell you where it's going to begin. It's going to begin with knowing who you are in Christ, believing who you are in Christ, and then living who you are in Christ. Those are three very important words. Knowing who you are, believing who you are, and then living who you are. This is the real you, as we're going to see. Now, most of you here, maybe not on our tapes, but most of you here are aware there are two natures residing in every Christian. Every Christian has within them two natures. There is the flesh nature, or the natural man, or the old man. It has various names that we'll be looking at. That's how we came into the world. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we were created a new spiritual creation, a new man. But the old man still resides. He still wants to be resurrected. He's dead. I'll show you that. He's dead. Every time you go back into the flesh, let me tell you what you're doing. You're resurrecting the dead. You're in the necromancy. You're going back and you want to raise the dead because you enjoy the dead. You feel comfortable with the dead. You feel very comfortable. And I'll show you that. Why not? We've been doing it since birth. We developed some very good habits with our old person, our flesh nature. We got it pretty well under control. So to start living in the new man is going to demand the development of habit. Doing this over and over and over, living who we are in Christ. To begin to live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. To begin a life doing that, we're going to have to begin understanding who we are in Christ so that the old person does not rule anymore. There is no stress, anxiety, and depression when you're walking in the new man. And we'll take a look at that. We'll see why and how that is true. Now, most believers, while they claim, there's that word claim again. People, you can claim whatever you want. Most believers will claim they believe that they are a new spiritual creation, but then they live day in and day out in the old man. It's one of those things you can claim to be walking by faith, but James says your faith is dead. They claim to be walking in love. John says you're not. If you hate your brother, bitter toward him, these things. So you can claim this. People, how we live is where I'm going to be talking about, because that's where we experience these things of anxiety and stress and depression. There's a principle. The most difficult thing to do is to believe and accept as true all that God says about you. Now, I'll show you and back that up. It is one of the most difficult things to do, to believe and accept as true all that God says about you. People, you'll do it in church. You can write it down. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about in your marriage. I'm talking about in your relationships, where we feel inadequate, feel undeserving, feel like failures. When all of that is a reality in your soul, then chalk it up. You're not in the new man. You are looking at yourself in the old man. You're not looking at yourself in the new person that you are in Christ. So most Christians are going to experience stress and anxiety and depression because we're not going to accept what is true, what God says about us. We're going to accept as true what other people say about us and what we ourselves observe about us. I'm a failure. Look, I just sinned. I'm no good. And it's the same sin I committed yesterday. So don't kid me. I know I'm no good. I know I'm not adequate. Yes, I know what God says about me, but I experientially know better. Because you choose to. And I'll be using this example a lot because it fits so perfectly. So just get tired of it tonight. We, Christians, are like the young girl who has anorexia. We're going to look in that mirror. We're going to look in that mirror. And what we're going to see is what she sees is a very fat girl. Now, truth of the matter is, she weighs 96 pounds wet. I mean, she just skinny. Needs to eat a lot of Blue Bell ice cream. But she looks in the mirror and she sees somebody really fat and people that's going to govern how she lives. That's going to govern how she eats, what she thinks about herself when she walks in front of people. I'm disgusting. I am overweight. I look horrible. And that's the way she's going to live. And that's the way Christians often do. Now, the truth of the matter is, the girl is not those things. Not by a long shot. Same thing is true of Christians. Got to look in the mirror, and you're going to see this inadequate person who is inadequate in performance, who has failed, maybe a marriage, maybe work, maybe whatever it may be, sins, and I am inadequate of God's love. I am inadequate for God to bless me. And the reason that I am not blessed is because I am undeserving. And that's what I see, and that's the way I'm going to live. And that's going to bring stress, anxiety, and a whole lot of depression. Truth of the matter, that's not you at all. And I'll show you that. And it's just going to come down. Do you believe what you see in the mirror? Or do you believe what God says about you? Do you believe what others say about you? Or do you believe what God says about you? And people, that's tough. Like I said, the most difficult thing is for the believer to do is to accept as true all that God says that you are already. These things that you already are as true. Why believers suffer stress, anxiety, and depression? It's because they do not believe in the experiential faith. They may believe it academically. They may believe it as far as doctrine is concerned. They may be able to write it down. But when it comes down to living your life with people day in and day out, they do not believe what God says about them is true. Now, I want to get right into our text. I have no idea when I do these kind of things, I always overload up here for the amount of time that I have. But for our study tonight, our text is going to be Colossians chapter 3. That is going to be our text. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, what I'm going to try to do in each of these studies, each class, I don't want to carry too often. I'm going to try to make it a policy, if I can, in the structure, not to carry a study of a passage over. I like to, because I don't think I have to get the point of a passage and just get it in. Now, that changes a little bit the way we go at it. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to see if we get this down tonight, then I can come back to it throughout the next few months of our study. So let's see if we can build our first passage down here and see where we're going in this study of a life without stress, anxiety, and depression. Come on in, Gene. And we're in Colossians chapter 3. Now, what I'd like to do is for you is the first thing I want to do is to read the passage. Then I'm going to kind of talk with you about the passage, and then we'll go through and take it up word by word. So let's get to work on Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been, and I just got to tell you right up front, that's a first class condition, so let's translate it since. It's the best way I know in simplicity of translating the first class condition. Since then, you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. and your New American Standard has the comma in the correct place. Okay, where Christ is, where Christ exists. Not what I'm trying to show you is, if you notice that comma, it doesn't say where Christ is seated. Don't read it that way. Where Christ is. Now, what he is doing there, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. People, if I can coach you and encourage you to do verses 1 and 2, you will move into a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. It is not complicated. It is simple. It's not easy. Paul tells us walking by faith is the battle. But it is simple. I'll show you how we do this. Verse 3. For you have died. Now who's that? That's your old self. Dead. And your life, watch this, is hidden with Christ in God. And you've either got to believe that or not. Now look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is. See, people, when He is not your life is when you and I experience stress, anxiety, and depression. When He isn't. We'll see how all of this goes. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Okay. Now, we have two verbs. Two imperatives. We have two imperatives. Not verbs, verbs. We have a lot of verbs. Two imperatives that I want you to note here. Two imperatives that we've got to make note of. The first of these imperatives is keep on seeking. Verse 1. The second imperative is set your thinking. Set your mind. Okay. I want to talk with you. I want to just take these four verses and I want to talk to you about what's going on. See that keep on seeking? Why does it say keep on seeking? Now I got this later on at the proper place, but I want to be sure tonight when we leave this passage, you got this down. People, let me ask you a question. This is so important to learning to have a life free of stress. What were you seeking when you believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior? What were you after? What was your mindset when you and I believed in Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, was it not eternal life? Was it not to live in heaven with God forever? That's what we were seeking. We wanted a relationship with God forever. That was the whole issue of why every one of us believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We were seeking how to be saved forever, how to live with God forever, this whole thing of the eternal, the spiritual, the heaven. I want to go to heaven when I die. We're seeking that. People, let me tell you about your life. Keep on seeking that. Keep on seeking the things above. There's a pattern. We've seen how patterns are very important. There's a pattern at the cross, and that is the pattern of our life. And what was the pattern? My mindset, my seeking was to do what? To have eternity, to go to heaven, to have those spiritual things, and all I did was do what? I trusted. That was the end of the stress, the worry, the fear of hell. If some of you came from that kind of understanding, I did as a little boy. The fear of burning in a lake of fire forever and ever, fire and brimstone. Well, I must have been a bad guy because all my sins flashed before me at 6.5 years of age. And I thought, boy, I'm going to hell. I don't know what I did, but it must not have been good. Boom! So, what did we do? We went to Him and we simply trusted. No more stress. No more anxiety. No more depression about that. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't believe in eternal security, you probably still experience depression over eternal life. But those of you who know what happened the moment you believe in Christ, you ever experienced depression about your eternal life? Is anybody here, and don't be afraid, if you ever experienced depression and stressed out and anxiety about your eternal life, no, it's a done deal. It's all taken care of. People, I'm here to tell you, if that's the way you live your life, oriented to the things that are above. Look what he says. Verse 1, keep seeking the things above. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, in contrast, not the things that are on earth. Now, where does stress, anxiety, depression come from? They come from things related to planet Earth. Money, marital problem, work, different things related to the Earth. Yes, but this is, no, people, just stay with me a moment. Do I truly believe? Do I truly believe God's in total control of everything? Do I truly believe that is what this whole life's about? Is my relationship with Him, trusting Him, walking in faith? Had a great conversation recently. Okay, let's just talk. You got deadlines at work, you got this at work, they're not happening. How can you not be stressful? And I understand that. I'm not judging here, I'm talking with you. If I can set my mind, if I can set my thinking, hey, wait a minute. God has this already resolved in eternity past. My life is not about this deadline. I will do what I can. I'm not talking about, this is where you have to be careful, because I'm not talking about not doing our responsibilities at work. It's to use this example, if you can follow me. Jesus Christ is standing by a mountain cliff. Satan comes up and says, jump. God will protect you. No. If I jump, I'm going to get hurt, Jesus Christ said. So there's the realm of doing it, but I'm talking about to the point where we start going into stress, anxiety, and depression. About that. Letting that start taking us home and causing us to cry home on the way home in our marriage, in our enjoyment of life. Just be so stressed out, so depressed about doing and not doing and performing and not performing. People, our mindset is on the things of the earth. But if we can change and if we can develop that habit, well, then you're just saying that you don't care. Didn't say that. I didn't say you will not be a responsible employee or employer. And then we're going to trust God. It comes down to those things out of my control. Those things that would cause me to just be torn down and bring myself down, my relationship with God, with others, down. That I'm dealing with the things of the earth, not with the things above. And I'm going to go all through all of these things over and over. Now, let's talk about this type of person. Let's have fun. Let's kick him around a little bit. Oh, yeah. Just keep seeking the things above, sets the mind to that, and doesn't care, doesn't appear to care about this. And boy, they're not in the rat race, and they're not this, and they're not in that, and on and on and on. Nobody's going to understand you, people. You understand that? If you walk by faith in the Spirit, you're not going to be understood. We've already seen this with spiritual love. If you exercise spiritual love and forgive somebody seven times in one day of the same sin, what have we already said? That by the third or fourth time, your friends are going to be calling you a fool. You're a fool. They're just taking advantage of you. You're not going to be understood. Look what Scripture says about you. Look at that. People, your life's hidden. The Bible's so clear on all the things we're going to be looking at. Your life's hidden. No, the world is not going to understand you. They're not going to understand you. Your life is hidden. How you can do that is hidden to them. Even other Christians, especially other Christians, are not going to understand. They're not going to see. Your life is hidden. But look at verse 4. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed. It's going to come out. Your life. And that faith and that trust and the absence of the stress and the anxiety and the depression and why. It's going to be revealed with Him. Now, let's read with that understanding, very brief, and now let's get to work on it. If then you have been raised with Christ, since you have been raised with Christ, of where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind. Keep seeking and set your mind. Now, people, earlier I talked about a habit, not only here but in one of the little promos of all of this. Because that's what we're going to learn to do. We're going to learn. This is a habit. This is not you. You don't make a decision today. I'm going to keep on seeking the things above. Boom. For some of us, 10 minutes later, we're seeking the things of the earth. It's not that. This is not salvation. Eternal life salvation. This is not a one-shot decision. I am going to set my thinking. No, this is not a one-shot decision. This is going to be a habit. I think Sunday I used it as an example because it's funny. And in fact, we were talking about it this morning. Some of my friends and buddies in the gym. Can't wait till tomorrow. The gym is going to be packed. And if you want to watch people not know how to use machines, and over put too much weight on their bar, just tomorrow's the day to just walk into a gym and watch. It's fun day. The first, second, and third of every January, it's fun. New Year's resolution, and boy, they get in there. And people, I'm not mocking them. I would not discourage them at all. I won't talk about, I wouldn't dare talk to one person about March and April tomorrow if I were talking to somebody. But you know what? You're going to have to make that decision again in a cold morning in February when life gets real busy and you just don't have time. And then things get going. People, we do this in exercise, weight control. Oh, I'm going to lose weight. Boy, and I'm starting January the 1st. Man, I'm not going to have anything. Just nothing bad's going into my body. Boy, it's going to be bird seeds, lettuce leaves. It's going to be all this good stuff. Man, I am committed to this. And boy, I have set my mind to it. And then, you know, 3 days later, there you are. Good old beer and watching the Super Bowl. And it's not one shot. It's going to be habit. And that's what I'm going to show you in a life without stress, anxiety, and depression. What's the habit we want to develop? Because people, we already, the fact that we have stress, anxiety, and depression is habit. The way we function is because of our natural man and we've become very familiar with him, very comfortable with our flesh nature. Even though in our truest moments we might say, boy, with Paul, oh wretched man that I am no good. But I'm still very comfortable with my no good. But what we want to do is develop this habit of walking in the Spirit, walking in the new man. Okay. Colossians, written when Paul, guess where he was when he's writing all of this? He's in prison. He is in prison. A place that is pretty stressful. The Roman prisons is not a place you want to be. Very cruel. He is in prison. It's his first Roman imprisonment. Now, let's take a look at what he has to say. We get started here. Verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ. Okay, it's a first class condition. If, since. Since you. All right, now who are you? The you here are believers. You. Me. Everyone that's here tonight, every Christian that will hear this tape, this refers to you. This is not written to unbelievers. My ministry is not to unbelievers. My ministry is to believers. Okay. We have a conjunction, soon, translated then. Accordingly. As one, so another. Accordingly. Since, therefore, you have been raised up. Soon ergo. I don't need to put it on a board. There's nothing impressive about it. What is impressive and what is important and what I do want you to kind of grasp in your thinking with this word is it means to be raised up, but it has a prefix. And the prefix is F-U-N. And that prefix means with. So it means to be raised up together with. That's what the ideal of the word. Have been raised up together with. Now, got a couple of things we want to look at. The tense of the verb is in the Greek, the aorist tense. People, it's a done deal. This is not going to happen. Oh, bro, this happens the moment of faith in Christ. You have been raised up. Aorist tense. Point in time, the faith in Christ. What also is important here is, and this is one of those things we've got to learn to start believing, it's in the passive voice, and what the passive voice means is the subject, put it all on the board for you, the subject, and that's you, the believer, the subject receives the action of the verb. The subject receives the action of the verb. Now, what does that tell us? You and I have already received being raised up with Christ. I know that. I believe that. Do you? Do you believe it and do you understand it academically as doctrine? Do you believe it when you feel inadequate? Do you believe it when you feel like you don't deserve to be loved? Do you believe it when you feel like you don't deserve a blessing from God? I want to use a very strong expletive. I won't, but I want to. People, I'm sorry. In your soul, you're down and depressed and stressed out. Don't say that you believe if you have been raised up with Christ. Think about it. You've been raised up with Christ. I don't care about this world. I don't care about this earth. I don't care about your accomplishments or the lack of your accomplishments on the things related to this earth. What is important to God is what He has done, dear people, not what you have done or haven't done. When you and I go under stress, we are under Satan's lie, which we have not defined in this study, and we will do so. But basically, it's a performance standard. And we're stressed and depressed and anxiety and all because of we're not performing, we're not adequate, things are not going our way. And all those things are related to this earth. Oh no, this is a spiritual, it's related to this earth. You want to be personal? And rarely am I personal in my teaching. You want to know one of the areas I fight this? Is when I come here on sale on a Wednesday night and there's only five of us here. What's it all about, God? Not fooling myself? Now, where did I get the standard that I ought to be depressed if there's only five? Thanks to the earth. Because on earth, numbers are important. Are numbers important to God? Not one bit. Are things important related to the eternal? Not one bit. Not one bit. So what? I have no right to that then. If my mind is set on the things above. If my mind is set on who and what we are and I am in Christ. So don't give me this stuff, well, my depression is related to the spiritual. No, it isn't. Because if it were, then we understand being raised up with Christ. So, see that passive voice? The subject precedes the action of the verb. What's the action of the verb? Raised up with Christ. You are the subject. You have received it by grace. All you and I did was believe in Jesus Christ, and what God did was raise us up with Christ. Together with Him. Now, this is the second part of chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Look at it with me, please. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Since, that word if, first class, since you have died with Christ. Now, what does our passage say? Since you have been raised up. Chapter 2, verse 20 deals with the other part of this. Since you have died. Now, what died? The old flesh. The old nature. With all of its desires. And dear people, we all have them. With all of its wants. And lust and desires and goals and hungers died. Do we believe that? Do I believe it? Yeah, but what we do is we resurrect it. It's dead, but we want to resurrect it so that we can be miserable. We want to get resurrected so we can have our way. Since you have died with Christ, crucified with Christ. Now look what it says. To the elementary principles of the world. Now we're not ready to go into this tonight. What are the elementary principles of the world? Put it down in one word. Performance. Performance. That's the elementary principles of this world. To perform. Since you have died with Christ, and that death included the elementary principles of the world, now look what he says. Why? As if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as, and they all relate to performance and doing and opinions. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Do you realize this is sobering? When you and I go into stress and depression and anxiety, that all of that just dies. Doesn't have anything to do with eternity. I mean nothing. I am depressed about my financial situation, anxiety about it, Do you realize that has nothing to do with eternity? Nothing. It has to do with America. If you and I were born, and I'm going to say became Christians, in Pakistan, have you seen enough on television to understand a little bit about poverty? I hope so. Having enough money is an issue here. They're just concerned with having enough bread to make it through a meal. They're not concerned about having enough money, just enough food for a meal. But even that is what this passage is saying. It's going to be gone. It has nothing to do with eternity. Your performance at work, your performance at home, your do and do, people, I want you to understand, has nothing to do with the things above. It has to do with the things related to the earth. Why do we get in the stress and the depression and the anxiety over them? Let's continue reading. Verse 22, I've read the whole thing. So what I want you to see in verse 20, first we have died with Christ, and I'm not going to go through it with you now, but people like James and those that are interested in the Greek structure of things, the Greek actually picks up from verse 20. There's a link of verse 20 and chapter 3, verse 1, where it picks it back up now. And so we could see it grammatically here or subject-wise, but it also is grammatically. But since we have died with Christ, now verse chapter 3, verse 1, since you have been raised up with Christ, beautiful. So first we're crucified with Christ. What does that mean? Death of that old self, whom we're going to look at later. Then raised with Christ. What is that? That's the life of the new man, the new spiritual creature that we are. And they happen at the same time. One dies for the birth of the new one. Since therefore you have been raised together with Christ. Great deal going on here, but we don't have time for all of it. We have time for our study. We have been crucified with Christ. We now are raised to a new life with Christ. People, you've got to believe. No, you don't. I'm sorry. If you want a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, it begins with believing who and what you are in Christ, what God says about you. That's where it begins. It begins in believing what God says about you. And this is what God says about you. You have been raised to a new nature in Christ. Now, if you want to get depressed about that, and anxiety about that, and when I say you, I'm talking about me too. Don't ever think I'm not. And this isn't going to be a reality to you, then fine. Then you're going to experience it. But if you and I can get into our mind who we really are and believe that, if we can look in that mirror and not see this undeserving, horrible person that we see, like the anorexia girl sees a woman of way overweight, if we can look in that mirror and see who we are in Christ, and if we walk away from the mirror being Scripture, continue to believe that and live that way, just as she's going to live thinking she's overweight. So what food she does put into her body, she immediately takes it out of her body. Afraid to be around. Afraid to do anything. Because that's strongly in her mind. And that's the way a lot of Christians live. In that kind of fear. In that kind of stress. In that kind of anxiety. Because every time they look in the mirror, they see a loser. And there's always a Christian telling them that they're a loser too. Shame on you. But that's what they see. They see the failures. They see the inadequacies. And that's the way they're going to live. Well, what we want to do first of all is decide, am I going to believe what God says about me is true? It's already true, people. This isn't something that's going to happen. This isn't something that's in the process of happening. You have been raised up to a new life in Christ. Period. It has nothing to do with this earth. has nothing to do with your high performance in a high job. Has nothing to do with your possessions. Has nothing to do with how you look. Nothing. It has to do with what God says about you. You have been raised up with Christ in a new life, a new you in Him. Since, therefore, you have been raised together with Christ, crucified with Christ, now raised to Christ, that is what we are, dying in Christ, now watch this, dying in Christ has its implications in our daily life. Now people, please concentrate with me. I should put it on the board. I wish I'd have made an overhead here. Dying in Christ has its implications in our daily lives. Being raised in Christ has its implications in our daily lives. I'll give you a base example. A woman, and I'm using the woman because we are the responders to Christ, we are the bride of Christ. A woman marries and then divorces. Okay, let's call that death. The death of the first husband is over. The first marriage is over. Now, this is good, you can understand this. That has implications, doesn't it? You no longer sleep with that man. You no longer, and for some cases I might add, you no longer have to, but that's easy. I want to talk about, well, you no longer do it. Let's just say, even though they got a divorce, they still enjoyed sex. The implication now of the death of that marriage is, that's gone. That is the implication in my personal, in your personal life, that woman's personal life, of that divorce is, no more in bed with that man. Now, a lot of times people, they wouldn't want to. Yeah, there are people who get a divorce because they enjoy each other. They're the reasons for the divorce. But the implication is no more. What's another implication? No more do you go into their home or they into your home. For X number of years, free access, proper right. Now, they are no longer allowed just to walk into the home, to the house. It has its practical, experiential application, interpretation, impact on your life. So I could just go on and on, but I think you get the point. There's just things that are now, if that's dead, there are things that are over. Now, being raised with Christ has its practical implications in our lives, people. Now, this woman, good example, this woman now marries another man. What are the practical implications of this new life, we'll call it? This new life of married with this man. What are the practical implications of our daily lives? Sexual relationships, sleep together, live together, access to the house. All the things that are involved are now part of this relationship. Hi, people. If we can grasp in our minds and understand and believe, and I'm talking about in everything in your life, I have been raised a new life in Christ. It's going to have implications in your life. If I stay with where I was, then I'm not going to have that. But being dead with Christ means that all those old things related to the earth, because that's what the flesh is related to. The flesh is related to the things on earth. The flesh nature. The old you. This new you is now oriented to where Christ is. It's now oriented to your life in Christ. That's your thought process, people. It has its implications. It has its implications in your personal life. You die in reference to the old, and you have been raised with Christ for a whole new life. I do not. Colossians 3:1. Now, with that in mind, before we take our break, I didn't think we needed a whole hour, you know. I don't want y'all to learn too much about each other. And but let's look, before we do break, let's look at chapter 2 of Colossians, where you are, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism. People, what I'm trying to help you do and coach you to do and encourage you to do, I don't want you to have theological knowledge. I don't want you to have a doctrine in your soul. I want this to be an impact in your life. I want these things to make a difference in the way you live tomorrow. And as we get this down in our habits, stress, anxiety, and depression are a thing of the past. And it can happen. But it's going to take that habit forming. Having been buried with him in baptism. Now, what does that mean? That sounds weird. A secular psychiatrist would have a ball with us. That's weird. Having been buried with him. I have been buried with Christ. Boy, I got a hot one here. Honey, go ahead and build a pool for summer because this guy's going to give me a lot of money. But we know what it means. That old flesh nature that thinks it's inadequate is now been buried. Okay, continuing. In which you were also raised up with him. That's your new life. The new spiritual creature. Happens at the same time. Well, let me have fun here. Forget the Mormons. You got to divorce before you can marry. You know, this is going to happen. Now, unfortunately, some people do it this quickly. They right across the street from getting their divorce papers, they get married. But this is what we have happening. Death and life. The old person's going to have to die. This new person is raised up. The flesh nature with all of its desires are down, and with it, people, I'm going to show you, is buried stress, anxiety, and depression. Verse 12, having been buried with him, it's a fact. Do you believe what God says about you? Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him, new life, look what it says. How's all this happened? By means of faith. There you have it. That's our part. How is this going to be a reality in your daily life? By means of faith. By means of faith in the working, here it is now, in the working of God. People, it is not your performance. It is God's performance. Don't ever think you're inadequate because you realize what you're just saying. Think about it, what you're saying. You're saying God's inadequate. If I am inadequate of God's love, then God is inadequate. Because my adequacy is from Him, so He must be the one wrong here. Be careful with what you say about God when you think about yourself. But when we experience stress, anxiety, and depression, what are we saying about God? He's not taking care of my new person. I'm really fearful about who I am in Christ. Are you? No. I'm really fearful about my flesh person. That's really what I'm fearful about. That's the worry, the anger, the hate, the jealousy. All those things that are from the seven-headed dragon in our soul that's going to bring about stress, anxiety, and depression. Just think your way through. We're going to get to talking to yourself. Listening. Think of your way through when you think you're going to handle something in life with stress or with anxiety, because it's a choice, people. It is a choice. We choose to be depressed. That is not something that just happens to us out of our control. We choose to do that. And what we're going to really develop a habit of doing is stopping it, nipping it, as Barney says, nip it in the bud right away. Nip it right there. Stop it. And what we're going to replace it with, who am I in Christ? A new man. Things above. Things eternal. This really have an effect on things that are eternal? No, because those things are of God. Now, note what it says. In the working of God. God gives us life. God is in the life-giving business. He sent us His Son. He sent us His Spirit. He's in the life-giving business. Who raised Him from the dead. The power that raised Him is the same power that raises you and me. He does the work. Dying in Christ, past action. Raised in Christ, past action. It's who you are. Do you believe who you are in Christ? Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back. And when Wes starts playing the piano, start chug-lugging your food, and we'll come back and finish up the study and then have our celebration of the Lord's table. So let's break for fellowship.